Live with Ryan Reese. This is Live with Ryan Reese. Call now 1-888-564-6173 or post your questions using the hashtag Live Ryan Reese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
What up, family? Another beautiful Saturday night. I was just down in Huntington Beach today with the it's called Beachside Summerfest. It was down there at the pier, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Does an annual concert festival. Propaganda was playing and a couple other bands. But it was good to see a lot of you guys down there hanging out. It was like the perfect day for the beach. It was like 72, 74, something like that. Hot, but not like too hot. And it was just packed. And there was waves. Nice size waves. So it was summer's here. Summer is here. But tonight, I have one of my good friends in studio, Phil Ludwig. He's the CEO and founder of Together Freedom and Teen Rescue. And I've talked about Teen Rescue probably several times on this show. It's a place up in Northern California that I go, and we would take the whosoever team and hang out with kids that are just kind of coming out of just issues and just going there and loving on them. And Phil has opened that door for me. And I talk very highly of the place, but tonight we have the founder in studio, and I'm going to be talking to him about how he even got into this. But it's not only that center that he does, but he's involved with a lot of different stuff like sex trafficking and working with victims and the law and all kinds of cool stuff. So Phil, thank you for being here on the studio.
Hey, happy to be here.
So, first of all, how did we meet? Refresh my memory.
I have no idea.
I remember.
Honestly don't remember.
You know?
No,
you're
I
getting
know.
Old like me.
I know. Well, I'm old.
I know.
So, but I just know that you came up, and I remember what sticks out in my mind is the, like, 30 kids got baptized. It was so cool, you know, just to see the kids just respond to you and your wife. And so it was really awesome. And, you know, I know that my campus director, Tiffany, loves it when you guys came up, so.
We love you. We love her. We love the whole team. It was just a mind-blowing experience to be able to just hang out and just hang out with these kids and just kind of see what they're going through and just to love them and connect with them. And then as we were up there, God opened up opportunities to just share the gospel. And, you know, you guys have this like pond. Is it a pond?
Yeah. Well, you know, I can't tell if it's a small lake or a large pond. It's in that no man's land.
Yeah.
But you can canoe on it and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you do all these activities on there.
Yeah.
And there's even a goat in the middle of it. But yeah. Do you still have that goat?
We have actually a lot more goats.
Is there?
Yeah. Tiffany's an animal freak. So there are animals everywhere. We have Newfoundland dogs. We have goats. We have, horses. I mean, you name
That's
it.
Right. You have the horse too. That one that would just show up.
That one, yeah, that one's not there anymore.
Oh,
He kicked the bucket.
He was old.
He was old, yeah.
It was, we'd be playing football or doing whatever we're looking at. All of a sudden, we'd look over and the horse is just hanging out looking at us. And then we'd go to the other side of the property, then it's just there, too.
It was a wild Mustang.
Oh, was that?
It wasn't nobody's horse. It was a wild Mustang.
No way.
Yeah, it was cool. That's why I was sad when it passed. But.
Oh, wow. That stinks.
Yeah.
But it was,
so now
it,
bummed
was
everybody
it was
out.
Awesome. And you guys never even, you guys have never done a baptism there either. At that point,
I don't
you?
Think we had at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have since, but
so
I don't,
that was the first one though.
I think it might've been, but it was crazy how many kids. That was just so awesome. I was unfortunately not able to be there, but I heard about it from staff like crazy. So
that was pretty much one of the coolest, experiences that I've had. But before, so how'd you even get into all this?
I'm not sure about that either. No, I think that, you know, God's got an amazing sense of humor and he's got an amazing way to kind of guide you into stuff. And I was a San Diego police officer working in La Jolla, Mission Beach. And we got this call one day and it was to support the FBI in a sting operation or a rescue of 11 girls that were in a hotel in downtown La Jolla, right off of La Jolla Shores. And I just found that amazing that here we are in this sophisticated country and there's trafficking going on. And this was 30 years ago. I mean, that tells you how old I am.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's right by the beach, right?
Yeah, right on the big hotel right off of North Torrey Pines.
Dude, that is crazy.
Yeah. So we went there, and before we got there, the suspect had learned of who had informed on him. So he shot at her and literally tried to kill her. So she jumps into a commercial, you know, one of the larger commercial trash cans and hides. We get there. We pull her out of the trash can and rescue her. And then we go up to the hotel room and we rescue the other girls. And, you know, and then he, of course, went to jail. But it was a real eye-opener for me. It was like, wow, this is, you know, and these girls were part of a front, like a modeling agency, where they thought they were, you know, going to Paris for a photo shoot.
So wait, were they all Americans or were they
from American girls, 14, 15, 16 years old. And so they, this guy, what he would do is he would, what they call groom, the girls and the family. And so they, he would build trust with them and say they were part of a modeling agency, and he would do photo shoots and he'd build the trust. And then he came to him and said, hey, your daughter got offered, which is an amazing privilege, to go to Paris for a photo shoot. Now, what 16-year-old, 14-year-old girl isn't going to flip out at that? Yeah. So that, you know, puts pressure on the parents to let him go. And by then, he's built a relationship with the parents, so the parents sort of trust him. And so he gets all the waivers and says they're going to be chaperoned and, you know, blah, 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 and they're going to fly into Greece, and then they're going to go to Paris. And so these parents signed off on this. And, of course, thank God that there was this informant in there, because if they hadn't, they would have been gone, because they're actually going to Greece, and then they were going to Turkey, and they had been sold for $20,000 apiece.
So they where would they be trafficked? Like, would they stay in Turkey, or
yeah,
they
would have been sold. I don't know if they would have stayed in Turkey, but they were basically sold for $20,000 apiece, and they were going to end up in Turkey, and where they go from there.
Dude, that is crazy.
It is crazy. You know, and kids are disappearing, and people think that they're runaways, but there's some of these runaways that are not runaways. They're right. Just disappearing. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of opened my eyes. And so Kim and I, my wife, we just thought, you know what? We need to reach out. And so I eventually retired from the police department and started helping families just on the side. And then it grew. And it was sort of like a side ministry. And then it just grew. And then pretty soon, a couple $1 million a year, you know, it turned into a pretty big operation. Right. So we were doing all sorts of things. And the more and more I got involved with the FBI, the district attorney's offices, Homeland Security, they would call me and say, look, we've had this girl that we just rescued out of sex trafficking. Would you take her? So my first facility was Josh McDowell's facility up in Julian. And okay. And then the fires came and burned us to the ground at another facility we were at.
So when you were there, how many people did you have?
About 80 total.
80.
Yeah.
Now, was this all like trafficked or was it just?
No, it was a combination. We was a small facility, about 3 acres, had 7 buildings on it. And then we had, like I said, we had probably about 80 kids. And then the fire came along, the Cedar Fire in 2003. Mm-hmm. And the one that was very large, like 99 miles, something crazy. Yeah. And it took it out. And so we were kind of stuck, and we were in hotels, and we were just like, okay, where do we go now?
That one must have been insane, having 80 kids and stuck in a hotel.
Yeah. I literally was convinced that we were done, yeah. that it was over. Yeah. And so I was trying to figure it out. So I called a friend of mine who was running Hume Lake, Jeff Lilly, and he was friends because I had met my wife on staff at Hume, so there was a connection there. And so I called him and said, hey, do you know of a vacant camp that's available that we could go, you know, go to? And he's like, no. And then he called me the next day and he said, hey, I talked to my board and they want you to come up to Hume Lake. And I'm like, no, you can't handle, you know, all of us. And he said, no, we can. We're going to. So we went up to Hume Lake, hung out there for like 10 months. And I had staff parked everywhere that I could find, and we had it was an amazing adventure, and it worked out super well. They wanted us to stay permanently, but it was really hard on staff, and so we eventually came back to the campus, and then eventually were offered this gold mine.
So wait, you came back to San Diego?
Came back to San Diego. We were in modulars on the property that had burned.
That's how that works.
So
okay.
We were just like hanging out, and we had a permit, but it was going to cost us like $7 to $10 million to rebuild, and I didn't have that kind of cash. So yeah. God just provided. Our permit was about to expire, and a gentleman, he's a very humble guy, and he probably doesn't want me to name him, but I'll just tell him he's a very successful business guy in the San Diego area. And he had a property up north, and he said, hey, look, I want you to move up there. And when I went up there, Ryan, I was like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. Right. You know, you've seen it. And
yes,
it's crazy.
How many acres?
250.
250,
that's so 30 crazy. Buildings,
250 acres,
a baseball diamond, track and field, volleyball, basketball. I mean, it was like I
couldn't. Pond or a lake or a couple actually, because there's one up north.
There's one up top. Yeah, up top. So it's like, God, you are so good.
And like cabins and like, I mean,
everything,
it's like
staff, you know, housing, a lodge, you know, it was just crazy. You know, the cafeteria is huge. Yeah. And so we've been there for 10 years and helping kids. And it allowed us to separate the programs so we could put the troubled teens in one area, the troubled girls in one area, the troubled boys in one area, and then the what they call CSEC, which stands for commercially sexually exploited children, in another area. Mm-hmm. Because you really can't treat them the same way. They're really the victimization is extreme. And
yeah,
so
they're on from what I've noticed when I was there, they're on two different, I mean, they're on different levels here.
Oh, you have absolutely.
To treat them completely different.
Yeah. If you try and treat them like a troubled teen, it just implodes. Yeah. So they're more about, like, a troubled teen would be a simplistic, answer would be that a troubled teen is entitled. Now, that's not really fair to put them in that box, but just for definition's sake.
Right.
But a CSEC kid is a trust issue where they don't trust anyone. Mm-hmm. And so you can't come in and just start disciplining them because they'll just, you know, say have a few choice words and then they'll be gone.
Right.
And so we've just learned how to deal with these kids, and it's been exciting. It's been super encouraging. We've had a tremendous amount of success with these girls by just building into their lives and sharing the Lord with them. And we had seven new girls come in about 3 months ago. And out of the seven, five made decisions for Christ within 3 weeks.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So do you mind sharing a couple stories about each section? Like, you have like the troubled teens,
mm-hmm.
and then the other. Tell us some of the stories, maybe of some of the. Well,
I think
that showed up.
The most encouraging thing is that you build relationships with these kids and their families because you're investing in them as a whole, not as one of, you know, we're not babysitters, we're not, you know, someplace to dump a child. We're here to, you know, we do parent training classes that are every month, sometimes twice a month. We have parent seminars where we talk about boundaries, conflict resolution, you know, forgiveness, all the biblical principles that are really so practical that people don't realize. You know, they always say, where do you get all this information? And I go, well, I get it from the Bible. And I go, really? You know, the Bible is extremely practical, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's really cool to be able to share the Lord through that means,
right.
And not just, you know, say, okay, you know, Jesus loves you, you know, which is great,
yeah.
But it's a real practical meeting their needs. And then letting them draw in closer and go, hey, you know, what's different about you guys? Why are you doing this? And so, that's the biggest question we get from the traffic girls is, why are you doing this? See, they think there's an agenda, and because they don't trust.
Right.
And so we don't tell them we love them at first.
Yeah.
We say we care about you because the pimp, who we call slaveholder,
right.
We don't call them pimps because that makes the girl look like a prostitute. She's not.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do is we say we care about you. And because that the pimp's always saying, oh, I love you, baby. I love you, baby. You know,
yeah.
And they're twisting it and perverting it,
right.
Where we sit there and say, well, we care. And then as they grow, then and they're more mature and can hear it, then we tell them, hey, we love you. You know, and I have girls that this one girl we rescued when she was 11 and she's 19 now and calls me every week. And I'm like her second dad kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Yep.
And
And when I was there, by the way, what I saw that you truly are a second dad to them. They trust you. The ones that have been there, you know, for a while, you see that connection. Even with the other girls in the other program and the guys,
mm-hmm.
they have connection to the staff. Even though they may show up and be very like not about try to talk to anyone or whatever, but you could see the ones that have been there for a while. You could see the transformation and the trust, and they are stoked to be there.
And their face changes. Their countenance changes. That's what's been amazing to me. And I never really thought that I would connect with the kids as much as I have with some of them.
Yeah.
Because I'm only up there, you know, a week at a time every month.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really cool to have these relationships with these kids. And, I mean, the girl that I'm in contact with all the time, I'm in contact with a couple of them, but the one in particular I'm talking about, you know, she's probably one of the worst victims I've ever met. Mm-hmm. And I hate to put that in a category because that can get weird. I'm not, you know, every victim is a victim. And,
yeah.
But there is a severity to a degree, you know, that you have to measure because that helps you in the healing process.
Right.
But just hearing her story, it really brought me to tears. I mean, it was just like, how can someone be so evil to do this to a child? And we had a recent situation where a child and this is a mind blower. This is the worst story I've ever heard and didn't believe it. Mm-hmm. I get a call about a girl who basically was a young child and watched her sister being killed. And when the lawyer's talking to me on the phone, I'm not buying it. I'm suspicious. And I'm like, okay, I'm not buying this. But, you know, it's possible, but I'm, you know. And she said, well, they actually had this child off book. So I'm going to call her Sue. That's not her name. But yeah. So they have Sue off book, no birth certificate. The older sister gets murdered by the parents. So they make Sue take on her identity so that they can't get caught for murder because Sue doesn't technically exist. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm not buying it. Yes. I'm on the phone going, okay, you know, there's no way. Because first of all, they said she had no legal guardian and they wanted me to take her. And I'm like, no, I'm not taking her. There's got to be a legal guardian somehow. So I'm not buying it. But then the lawyer says, well, I went and had a forensic test done because basically social services wouldn't take her because she was too old. Quote unquote, she was the older sister.
Right.
So the lawyer went and had a forensic test done and they found out that she was much younger, that she was a minor, in fact. And I'm still not buying it. I'm still like, yeah, okay, you know, a forensic test, maybe that's subjective. I don't know. I've never heard about that, you know. Yeah. And then she said, and then so we went to court and the judge gave her a new birth certificate. Now I'm starting to go, ooh, this is interesting. Okay, if a judge believes that this forensic was enough evidence to say that this is not her true age, mm-hmm. that's interesting. And when you meet this kid, she's a joy to be around. She's like, I never chose that life. I never wanted to be a part of it. I've got a new life now. We took her. I called my attorney and said, hey, can we take this kid? She goes, she thought about it, you know, and got back to me and said, take her. Who's going to complain? So we took her, and she's doing so well. And she's made a decision for Christ. She's just super polite and super motivated. And that's what gives me the energy, you know, to work with these kids. It's hard. You know, you're dealing with a lot of garbage, and these kids are going to the doctors constantly. So it's pretty tough.
We have Phil Ludwig in studio. He's the CEO, founder of Together Freedom and Teen Rescue. And back to these kids that are up there, you know, I've seen a lot of them have contacted me too. The ones that we met while we were up there, they'll mm-hmm. contact me when they get out of the program.
Yeah.
And they're doing good. They're walking with God. They're serving at their church. They're going to be a missionary somewhere, or they're working or getting married or whatever it is. But they are, there's been a great response to the program. And even when I was up there, there's ones that actually turn 18 mm-hmm. When they're there. So that means they can literally just, once they turn 18, they just get up and they could just leave.
Right.
But they stay because they want to finish their school. They want to finish their high school. Some of them are already doing college stuff too because they advance with their school system.
Mm-hmm.
But that shows you that how much they love the program and how much it's helped them. That they stay after so they finish all their schooling before they leave.
Well, and another thing, a lot of these kids come back and be staff.
Oh, really?
They become staff.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It's been amazing. You know, Tiffany.
That's true. She
was a student, you know, like 20 years ago.
That's right.
You know, so it's a real kind of a backhanded compliment that someone would want to come back and be part of helping someone else through a ministry that's helped them. And that's really encouraging. And so it's really, really neat. And so in that, all that, we've kind of wanted to duplicate things by starting some programs outside of the campus. So if people have a troubled teen and they want help, they can call us and we can help them there. If they have what they call a traffic or CSEC victim, they can call us and we'll help there too. But we wanted to kind of expand the services so that we could help kids. And that's where the Together Freedom, it's a play on words, to get her freedom, to create action teams. And so I created an action team as a pilot program in Oceanside. And that really did well. We helped like 9 kids. And, you know, some of them did well, some of them did okay, some didn't do so well. But it was a way of helping them that where the kids couldn't necessarily come to the school up north. And so,
wait, what does it look like? What is the action team?
Okay, so what I did is I had this designed about 10, 15 years ago, and I had it in my head. I had it all planned out. I knew what I wanted to do, but nobody was willing to listen to it because trafficking wasn't a big deal until probably like 6 years ago.
And now it's everywhere.
And now it's everywhere, right. So now people are ready to listen. So what it was is designed that people would get together, and when I polled people, people that volunteered got burned out pretty quick. And so I said, okay, why are they getting burned out? Well, they were getting burned out because they were being put in positions that they weren't comfortable with. And they weren't kept busy. And there was a lot of different reasons, but those were two major ones. So I designed it where they can become part of these action teams and they can get involved based on their talent and their desire. So if they're a caregiver, they can be a caregiver. If they're a case manager type, they can do that. If they're a prevention person or a speaker, or they fundraise or they network, or they just hang out with the girls and take them out for ice cream and just kind of, because what we want to do is socialize them,
yes,
and normalize them because they've lived such a sheltered life. We want them to have a good time. We take them to Disneyland. We just got through with a Disneyland trip. I think it was like a month ago. We took them down, rented a beach house. And what was crazy about that is, and kudos to Saddleback Christian High School, those high school students in 1 weekend raised enough money to bring these kids down, take them to Disneyland and the beach house and everything and entertain them.
Dude, that is so cool.
It's so cool. And then they had the first time we did it, they had this gymnasium at their campus. And so we brought all the girls there and they played like the soccer type of game in chairs, in office chairs. So they're rolling around on it's just pandemonium crazy, right?
Yeah.
But it was cool because there was one particular girl, and I won't mention her name, but she had issues with men, and rightfully so.
Right.
She didn't want to get involved. But as the day went on, as the evening went on, she slowly engaged. Mm-hmm. And it was just so cool to see her finally kind of, okay, this is safe for me. I can do this. And so we just had a blast. And so we do things that socialize. And we, like I said, we take them to the beach. We take them out to movies. We try and show them a good time.
You just give them these normal things, but that they haven't had in their life. Which is normal to a lot of people,
mm-hmm,
but for
exactly
them, they haven't even had these experiences.
Yeah, their childhood was ripped off.
Yeah.
It totally ripped off. And so what we want to do, and one of the things we're trying to do is to start a drop-in center in Oceanside. Mm-hmm. And God's really working that out so far. So we've got a house already. We've got an organization we're going to probably be working with these kids. It's right on the track where the girls walk. The track is where they walk, where the girls walk. And so we have that going. We're hoping to raise some money to.
So right there in that area.
On Pacific Coast Highway.
That's where, when you say girls walking, that's like what prostitution's happening.
Right
there. And
right.
You're going to put a house right there. And what's the purpose of that house?
It's just for the girls to get relief and be able to come in.
So she's like, hey, come cruise in, hang out,
have a good time, do some schoolwork if you want.
These are young. These are like 18.
They could be anywhere from 15 to 22.
Now,
that could be older.
Are they being ran by a pimp, or is it like their parents are putting them out there?
No, most of the time it's a third party. It's pretty rare that a family will put a child out. Mm-hmm. It's normally a third party, a stranger, not so much a stranger, but like a boyfriend. Like there's three ways they do it: Romeo, gorilla, and professional. So professional is like the modeling agency I was talking about earlier.
Yep.
The gorilla is where they just grab them. And then the most common is the Romeo. They pretend to be a boyfriend, and then they recruit him, and then they sell him to a slaveholder. But interesting side note on that, one of the first girls we ever rescued in this new facility called me up a couple weeks ago and said, hey, I want to meet with you for lunch. And I'm like, I hadn't talked to her in like 10 years. And so it was so cool. She has a baby. We met her for lunch. I brought a female with me because I always do that. I'm always careful about that.
Of course.
And just want to be appropriate. And so we had a great lunch. It was so cool to see her. You know, now she's like 22 years old, has this child, seems like a really good mom. And it's just neat. And I've been in restaurants, so I'll go to some random, you know, Red Robin or something, and I'll hear somebody yell out, Phil, you know, and it's some kid that was in the school. And it's super encouraging, you know. And so what we're trying to do is expand our services and the volunteer group. People can get involved in any way they want. We have one in Oceanside, And we also now have one we just opened 3 months ago in Orange County.
Oh, cool.
And it's based out of Saddleback.
Okay,
right. High school. On. Saddleback right Christian High School. And so that has got about 20 members in it now. Maybe less, maybe 18 to 20. And they're gung-ho. They're on fire.
So if someone wants to contact you, where do they go?
They can call the Teen Rescue corporate office.
What about a website?
Teenrescue.com.
Teenrescue.com,
right. Mm-hmm. Or togetherfreedom.org. Mm-hmm. Or they can call the 800-494-2200.
Cool.
And talk to Jill. And so we can get them set up if they want to, you know, check out a meeting. You can come by, check out a meeting. You don't have to sign up. You can just check it out and go, hey, is this something that's for me?
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of opportunities, different callings for you know, mm-hmm. wherever you want to serve in that. And that's awesome. You know, back to what you were saying about how some are groomed or professionally groomed or, you know, I think there was like three different ones you said. But when I was up there at Teen Rescue, there was one girl that was there that she was online and she was talking to a guy online mm-hmm. for a while. And the mm-hmm. guy she was sneaking out with the guy at night, would pick her up and right. he was grooming her.
Absolutely.
To kidnap her.
Right.
And it all started with being online and just developing this relationship with this guy.
And I met with that girl 3 years after she left the school.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I know who you're talking about.
Yes.
But this guy was so evil. I mean, this is where I think it begins. It begins with evil, then they devalue human life, and then it's just about the money. And so this guy was emailing this girl saying, no, you need to get along with your parents. You need to, you know, they found each other online. He lied about his age. And so – and that's why parents need to be so careful about the online stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so she builds this relationship with this guy, and she's emotionally connected, even though she doesn't really know who this guy is. So she has a meltdown with her parents one night, and she says, you know, I'm just super, super upset with them. And this is after 8 months of communication.
Dude, that's crazy.
It is. They're patient people.
Yeah.
And so he says, okay, I'll tell you what. You can come over for one night, cool down, and then you have to go home. And she's like, oh, great. She goes there. There's 8 men waiting for her.
What?
And I won't, you know, you can yeah. figure that out from there.
Yes.
And she was devastated. She was victimized all night long. And
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't get that deep into the conversation.
It's
insane.
These people are evil and they're smart. They're not your typical, you know, kind of dumb criminal who leaves their license at the bank after they rob the bank. You know what I mean?
Yes.
These people are cunning.
And they took her back home after that.
Well, she ran away from him. They kept her there for a while.
Okay.
And then what happened was she was at the LA train station and there was an Amber Alert on her and a security guard recognized her.
Okay.
And so the pimp split. He grabbed the girl and then they called us. The parents called us and then we went and rescued her.
Unbelievable. This is Phil Ludwig in studio. He's the CEO and founder of Together Freedom and Teen Rescue. Tonight's conversation is heavy. Heaviness. You know, if you just tuned in, this is Live with Ryan Reese here every Saturday night, just doing rad interviews with rad people. And, you know, I run the Whosoever's Movement as well. We're going to be going to break in about I don't know, about a minute, but I'd like to plug our Kill the Noise tour. As what we do is every year we tour the public high school system and we're going in and we're doing gymnasiums, assemblies in the gymnasiums. And we're actually trying to reach these kids with the gospel of Jesus Christ prevention before they end up in this lifestyle or get caught up in just randomness. So keep us in prayer as we are ramping up for this next year. I know we just hit summer, but we did 59 schools last year. We've seen 19,000 kids showed up and 15,000 students came forward and gave their life to the Lord. That means they walked down, they came down, they met me on the gymnasium floor and they said the prayer out loud. We gave them the Bible and we plugged it back into the Christian club. This year, we're trying to hit 150. We're like, God, let's do this. We've seen the Spirit pour out. Revival's breaking out, Phil, in the middle schools and high schools.
That's cool.
And God's opening the doors, and these kids are receiving Jesus Christ. They're being filled with the Holy Spirit, and you know, their lives are being transformed. We're hearing that the Bible clubs, one was 20 people. Now it's 200 strong after our event. So that's just one of the teachers that I talked to after the event. But God's really moving. We've been hitting from the East Coast to Mexico to Northern California to like Seattle. But we will be back in 2 minutes right after the break.
More Live with Ryan Reese coming up.
Is everything all right?
Sure. Call now 1-888-564-6173 or post your questions using the hashtag Live Ryan Reese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
I think I speak for the entire administration when I say whoop-de-doo.
Now, back to Live with Ryan Reese.
Don't say we didn't warn you.
Loud noises!
It is true. I was at the beach today and I feel sunburned. My brain feels like it's on slow-mo right now. But it's all good. We got Phil Ludwig in studio. Again, he is the founder and the CEO of Together Freedom and Teen Rescue. Their whole deal is they pour into to troubled students, kids, or basically even work in the human traffic realm and help get them rehabilitated and introduce them to Jesus. And I've personally been to his facility. I've been with the kids, hanging out with them. It's working. Like, I've seen the reaction with the kids that are there. They're getting introduced to Jesus. They're getting their education, and they're actually leaving the program, and they're living that life that they were created for. Mm. They find me on social media. They contact me, like I was saying before the break. Hey, how you doing? I'm walking with God. I'm serving the church. I'm a missionary, or I got married, or I have a kid, or whatever it be. They're doing good. The program works. I highly suggest it. Me and my wife, we were going up there like 4 times a year until we had the kids. We absolutely love it up there.
Well, and just, you know, as an offer to you, you have 3 girls. If you want to start a layaway program now.
Hey, speaking of kids,
yeah.
For all the parents out there that are listening right now, they've heard some heavy stories and stuff that's going on. But let's talk about prevention.
Okay.
You know, I'm a parent, you know. How do we prevent our kids from getting involved in stuff? What are some signs and stuff that we should be looking out for as parents? And I'm going to open up the phone line for calls.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So I'm going to give out the number. It's 888-564-6173, 888-564-6173. We want to hear from you if you have any questions about tonight's show, about maybe things that we should be looking out for. And while we talk about this, what are some things the parents should be looking out for? Where are people trying to recruit young kids?
Well, obviously the number one is social media. Social media is out of control. It's just absolutely crazy. The government. I was on Congressman Ed Royce's International Task Force for Human Trafficking, mm-hmm. and it's such a pervasive problem. They're trying to get treaties with foreign countries like Thailand to kind of, you know, curb the sex tourism that's going on over there with American citizens that are going over there for that. But it's pervasive. And online is the number one way that they're really recruiting these girls. And Instagram, there was a place called Backpage. But the government shut them down like a month ago, which I wouldn't even mention the name because I don't want anybody knowing about it. But the guy went to jail. They finally shut him down after years of him selling girls online. Craigslist, they've got pressured, and I believe that's ended as far as their personal ads. Mm-hmm.
I heard about that a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's been some good pressure, but now, and I'm not going to mention the name,
yes,
but now they've already gone to a new website that's being managed from a third country, another country. So the laws are different there. And it's going to make it tougher for the U.S. to hold them accountable. And I hope they get on it because I've noticed in the last 2 weeks, the uptick in this, sites activity. And so it's super sad that they're selling these girls as just property, as just something to satisfy a selfish desire. Mm-hmm. And so I think parents need to be aware of where their kids are. They need to be parents. And parenting is intrusive. And sometimes parents feel like it's wrong to be intrusive in their kid's life. But you need to know what's going on in their bedroom. You need to know what's going online. You need to know who their friends are. You need to know where they're going. And are they really going where they say they're going? And I think that parenting today is kind of more the back-off mentality of, well, you know, I'm going to just trust my kid and hope that everything's cool. Yeah. But by the time you figure out that something bad is happening, it's too late. Yeah. It's too late. And I'll give you a story. There was a girl. She was blonde, pretty, tall, smart, super smart, and started dating this guy. And the parents met him and thought he was really a nice guy. And all of a sudden, you know, she starts disappearing at night. And they're catching her sneaking out at night. And that's not her personality at all. Right. She was a straight kid. And so one thing led to another. So they called me and said, hey, we want to put our daughter into your school because we think our daughter is out of control. So I interviewed this girl and I said, your kid is not a troubled teen. And they're like, what? I said, your kid is a victim. And they're like, what? She had all the signs. What had happened is that she had dated this guy for months. He learned about her family. He learned that her brother had leukemia, 14-year-old brother. Mm-hmm. And he knew everything about the family. He takes her to a party one night. And he sells her for $5,000. He was a recruiter. He wasn't her boyfriend. He was pretending to be. He sells her. They take her into the back room, and I won't go into that. And this girl is devastated. Okay, she was beat up. She was victimized all night long. And then they told her, if you don't do what we tell you to do, we will kill your brother.
Right.
So she goes. Fear. So she goes home, and she begins to sneak out every night from midnight or later. Is prostituted during the night, comes back home and goes to have breakfast with mom and goes to school. And she does this for like 6 months.
How old is she at this point?
She was 15. And so we got her, I think, when she was just 15 or just going on to 16. And she was a sweet kid. And she still is, of course. But she was devastated. And of course, the parents were like completely devastated. And I've had many of those types of conversation with parents who thought their kid was acting out, but truly, and maybe they weren't trafficked, but they were victimized. You know, maybe they were date raped or maybe they were, you know, molested by someone. So it's really important that parents pay attention. If your child's shutting down and not talking to you about stuff, mm-hmm. that's a red flag.
So if shutting down and not talking.
Yeah. Sleeping at night, late hours. You know, kind of their time clock is switched where they're like sleeping during the day and kind of wired at night.
People think, well, this could never, you know, this wouldn't happen in my neighborhood or whatever. Well, I got a story recently. I don't know. I mean, sometime in the last year, it was down here in like Oceanside or somewhere along the beach right there in that area. Mm-hmm. There was a surfer girl out in front of her house. You probably mm-hmm. remember the story. And she was waxing her surfboard. And some guys pulled up in a van. She lives right on PCH, right there where the beach is. Okay, these are nice houses. Okay, mm-hmm. this is not like, you know, a super sketchy neighborhood or anything.
Right.
These guys jump out. They're trying to wrestle her to take her to kidnap her. And thank God that she's like athletic and surfer and in shape. She was able to like maneuver and get away from them and escape. And this is right on her front of her house.
Wow.
On her lawn.
Wow.
In this neighborhood.
Wow.
I mean, this could happen anywhere.
Well, the girl I mentioned to you earlier that I had lunch with just recently,
yeah,
she was taken right off the streets of San Diego. She was taken to Mexico, sold to a female slaveholder, pimp.
Yep.
She fought back, so they threw her in a closet for 2 weeks with just water and devastated her mentally and emotionally. And then the State Department got a call from the federales in Mexico saying they have this American girl. And then the State Department called us and we went and rescued her. But I have police officers' daughters, pastors' daughters, teachers, social workers' daughters. So you're exactly right that this does not – people think, oh, this is just a troubled teen thing or this is kind of a depressed area thing. But it's not. It's anyone who's vulnerable to being persuaded by some deviant, evil person.
And this is where the parents have to come in and mm-hmm. we have to be connected.
And you have to be proactive.
It's so easy to just get distracted. Mm-hmm. But we have to like really be focused and watch these kids. I mean, you have to even watch out too, like just with people just around your kids. I mean, just from my side of my line of work, as I'm constantly talking to people and parents, I mean, I can't tell you how many – not even the kids that are getting trafficked, but how many kids are getting molested.
Yeah.
And I've heard stories of like, well, I grew up in church. I went to the Christian school, the Christian church, and my parents were elders in the church, and we were hanging out with the pastors and this and that. And meanwhile, one of the family friends, which was a doctor, part of the church program was coming over and molesting a guy, molesting their son at these family parties. This stuff happens. Like, it's not when the parents are gone. It happens when they're in these houses.
Yeah.
It's, I mean,
they're bold.
I hear bold. These stories all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to watch our kids.
And the thing that parents need to realize is, okay, your kid may get ticked off that you're, you know, from their point of view, you're intrusive. But maybe they'll thank you later when they're an adult and they weren't victimized.
They'll thank you.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. And I think that that's where parents need to step up and be bold and go, you know what? Yeah, we want to be loved by our kids, but it's more important that we do the right thing by the kids. And that's what God wants us to do. He didn't say, oh, you got to be successful or you got to have your kids love you. He said, do the right thing.
Yeah.
And that means being a parent, not a buddy. And you've got to get into their lives and you got to figure out what's going on.
You know, you need to know what's going on. I was just reflecting back in my life when you know, I was raised in Azusa, born in Covina and then raised in Azusa for a while. But the neighborhood started getting kind of sketchy at that time. And like a bunch of kids were like getting molested and just crazy stuff. And I mean, I was talking to my mom actually yesterday and I don't remember this particular part, but she told me I went to this guy's house down the street. This one of my friends, you know, Marky that I went to school with. And I guess I walked in and they were like, there was like pornography happening just like some sketchy stuff happened in the house. And I came back and I guess I told my mom what was going on there. And they were like, okay, we gotta get out of this neighborhood. Because it could just happen. Neighbors' houses, just going to a friend's house. I mean, I'd show up at my friend's houses and their dads would have like pornography mags. I mean,
yeah,
you get exposed. I mean, yeah. I'm just talking in general of the job of the parents is you have to know who these people are, who the parents are, and who the kids are and everything that's going on. If not, your kids are going to get exposed to craziness.
Yeah, and I think that everybody thinks that these pimp or / slaveholders are older, and many times they are. Many times they're like 10 to 15 to 20 years older than the girl. But the recruiters that recruit the girls are generally within 2 to 3 years of the age of the girl.
So it's like kids right out of high school.
Exactly. Right. Like the 19-year-old.
Well, that's who's going to be able to get them. Exactly.
Because the girls are infatuated with the senior. You know, or the graduates,
That's true, yeah.
And so they're like, oh, a 19-year-old likes me. And a lot of the girls are dealing with self-value and wanting to be loved and cared for. And so if they have issues at home or even if they don't and they're trusting other people and they're thinking, well, he likes me. Why wouldn't I want to go for that?
Yeah, it's true.
And so I guess there's a line between being absolutely paranoid and then becoming a micromanager of your child, but at the same time saying, let's do our due diligence. Let's figure out what's going on.
All right. One other thing is Snapchat, because that's an app that every young kid's on.
They're advertising on Snapchat.
How are they doing that?
Well, it's basically they put the picture up and they have these clients and they have the list of their clients. And so they
so they're advertising the kids,
girls.
The girls.
And then they're doing it on a lot of social media platforms. They're moving to Facebook. So you really – if your kid's on Facebook, it's not necessarily a safe place. So you need to be careful about that. And then this new site that's up there, I think most normal people are not going to go to this site that I'm talking about, but most normal people are going to go to Facebook.
Yeah.
And you need to know that if your child's on Facebook, you need to police where they're going. If you get a keylogger, which a keylogger is something that records the keystrokes on the keys of the computer, you can put that software on your computer and you can monitor where your kids are going and then check, and it can send you emails if they go somewhere that's flagged.
Keylogger?
It's called a keylogger app. Okay. And so there are a lot of technologies, and I'm a firm believer, like they have GPS things you can put in their shoes. You can put GPS trackers in their wallets or purses, handbags. I think teenage girls probably don't carry purses. That probably dates me a little bit, but, technology can be bad, but it can also be an asset. And so I think we need to be creative on, tracking their phones. Like, I always encourage parents to have a code for their child that says, if I text you and say, are you okay? And the kid types back, I'm fine. That means they're in trouble. You see, because it what they normally do when they take a girl is they take her phone and they give her another phone that they have control over. But at some point, they have to give that phone back to her if she's going to go home and play the double role.
That's interesting.
Okay. So if you say, you know, I'm fine, then it's a red flag to the parents. It's like, no, she's not fine. Have some other word that means she's fine. You know, like, I'm good, you know, or whatever. But you can't text right in front of her. Like, he may say, text your parents and tell them you're okay. Yeah. So you, she could say, Mom and Dad just want to let you know I'm fine.
Yeah.
Boom, red flag.
Yep.
Call the police, trace the phone, you know, and maybe save your daughter from counseling for the next 30 years.
Heavy. Yeah, yeah. Heavy, heavy. Speaking of apps, you know, you were talking about Keylogger. There's also another app that actually you can you could shut down. You have access to – it's on your phone and you have an app that controls your kid's phone. Mm-hmm. So basically at night, you know, you could shut down all these you know, social media apps and stuff while they sleep, because a lot of kids are staying up and staying on social media. And this would actually prevent talking to sketchy people that are up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So you could literally shut down all the apps – from like whatever time they go to bed till the time they wake up, or however you want to do it. So I don't know the name of the app, though. Some lady told me on the plane about it.
Well, and the other thing that, that people need to realize, because I've done a lot of interventions with kids, is that these kids are technology smarter than we are. Yes. And so what this one kid was doing was deleting Snapchat off of her phone, but it still retained – all the information.
Right.
Okay. And so then she was able to reload the program when she would go to school, and everything was still there. Okay. Now, I don't even know how – I know kind of somewhat how Snapchat works.
Well, that works even with Instagram. If I just delete my app right now,
yeah,
I could go home with it. Tomorrow morning I could turn it on and just loads right in.
Yeah. And so and I just know that they're using these apps, and you can delete them, put them back on. Yeah. And so parents need to be kind of smarter than their kids, and that's tough because technology is always a moving target. But it's critical that they really hold their child accountable, because it could be saving their life. And then they need to give them skills – and tools to be able to stay away from that kind of environment. You know, what parties are they going to? You know, are these parties vetted? I mean, I've had parents have a party at their house and have an open bar for high school students. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, really? That makes sense to you? And I and quite honestly, if a kid comes out of that house and is drunk and ends up getting in an accident and killing someone or hurting someone, the parents are going to lose their house.
Yeah.
They're going to lose their house.
Reliable. Yeah. We got a call. I want to give out the number one more time. 888-564-6173. 888-564-6173. This is Live with Ryan Reese, and I'm in studio with my boy, Phil. We're going to go and take Grayson's call. Okay. Let's see if this thing picks up. There we go. Hey, what's up, Grayson? How you doing tonight?
Doing good. How about you?
Doing good, man. What's your question?
Yes, I had a question.
Oh, sorry. Hold on, Grayson. I'm sorry. Can you put your headphone in? Is there? I'm gonna get
that one.
There should be a little plug. Hold on. I have to get them set up. I forgot that we need to get them set up with the headphones really quick. All right, we're gonna be dialed in here in 2 minutes. Actually, not even 2 minutes. Probably like 2 seconds.
I'm on.
All right, we're on. All right, what's your question tonight, Grayson?
Yeah. What I want to know is obviously. Mr. Ludwig, you have a set of programs that you operate to help teens in these kinds of human trafficking and then also other types of behavioral issues and things of that sort. You did mention how with the new facility you were able to separate out into different areas the different programs. But what I'm curious about is obviously a lot of – in the troubled teen side of things, there have been a lot of reports of abuse, people being placed there that don't need to be there, and – things that really – basically people that don't really need to be in these kinds of programs going there. I want to know in your program and in the populations you work with, how do you screen to determine that your program is the most appropriate placement for the given child, whether they're coming out of human trafficking and maybe can go home to their families, or if they are a troubled teen coming in who has behavioral issues that that don't rise to the high level of requiring an inpatient placement?
Right. Well, it's not impatient, but I understand what you're saying as far as residential. And so I think that it's important to understand that you don't want to go beyond your scope. So we're really careful about profiling each child. We have a couple hundred questions that we ask. And we're just a school, so we're not a therapeutic setting. We partner with New Day for Children. We partner with Forever Found. We partner with all these other NGOs that come in and provide services that we either don't want to provide or legally can't provide. And so in California, you got to be kind of smarter than the system. It's pretty messed up here in California with all the laws. And so you have to be really careful that you stay within the law. And so over the 30 years that we've been doing this, we know our lane, and our lane is education. But we want to provide education for those kids who fall through the cracks, who might end up in a continuation school or might, you know, need counseling, but is not going to stay, is not going to stay in the continuation school, is not going to stay in counseling. And we're about faith-based relationships. And so that's where it's really worked for us. And so I think your point's well taken that you don't – it's like a residential school, and that's as simple as it gets as far as the definition, and that's what we are. But we are kind of like more like a traditional school 30, 40 years ago where we have a lot of structure, a lot of love, a lot of mentorship, you know, life skills training so that these kids, when they come in – they can really go out with some skills that they probably wouldn't have gotten had they gone to a regular private or public school. So it's really important that if we screen a child and we feel like there's too much clinical issues or there's something there that is not appropriate, then we're going to say, look, this is not the best place for them. And then we'll refer them out with this large database that we have of programs all over the country and even outside the country that parents can have options. And it's really important that we have parents come up and tour the facility, interview the staff, and then we let them interview the other students. We're really open book about that because we have nothing to hide and we want them to be have a piece about placing their child in the program. So they'll sit down with four or five other kids and ask any question that they want except for why that kid's there. We don't want them to get personal with the other students. Mm-hmm. But they can ask any other question about the food, about the discipline, about everything. And everything we do is by the book, you know, totally legal. We wouldn't do anything that a public or private school wouldn't do. But it's been a blessing, and we've been able to learn, you know, what kids we can minister to and what kids are outside of our lane and that we need to refer out ethically.
That's awesome. And, you know, like I said, I've been up there several times, and I've actually was there when you did a parent meeting. You had all the parents there.
Mm-hmm.
They come in, you had me speak to them and kind of talk about
mm-hmm.
the program.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's very interactive. It's the parents are involved. They're talking to, you know, the Tiffany or you or
sure.
or whoever. So it's really a good thing. And if you are interested in finding Phil, go to teenrescue.com.
Mm-hmm.
Teenrescue.com. And what was the other one?
Togetherfreedom.org.
And you could track him down there. And, you know, we want to thank you guys. We have a few minutes left. We want to thank you guys for tuning in every week. Just keep us in prayer. Keep Teen Rescue in prayer. Keep Phil, everything that he's doing. And just pray that God will continue to open more doors as they're going down to Oceanside, right on the tracks, and opening that home for girls that are walking, selling their bodies to the community. I mean, that's, you know, that one quote I posted on my Instagram a couple days ago. It says, God, help us to look at evil in the eye and let the light shine. And, you know, if you're going to go rescue people, you got to go to the gates of hell. Like you were saying earlier, Phil, you know, you're going to smell like smoke or you're going to get singed. I mean, if you're going to want to reach people, you got to go to where they're at mm-hmm. and pull them out. And they're caught up in craziness, and people need Jesus, man. And everything that's going on, even with the suicide rate right now, with all the suicides that are going on.
It's crazy, yeah.
Suicide right now, just a side note because it's relevant, is at an all-time high
yeah.
right now. Suicide, they said that a new statistic that just came out, they said that this generation, Gen Z, are feeling lonelier than people in old folks' homes. Why? It's the devices. They're so connected, but yet they're totally disconnected.
Absolutely.
It's depression, suicide, anxiety. But the good news is a relationship with Jesus Christ, God will fill us with his Holy Spirit. He'll remove the anxiety, the depression, the loneliness, and all that. And he'll put everything back into order, and he'll give you that new life that he created you for. But it all comes down to a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have 60 seconds left. Would you like to say any last words, Phil?
You know, I would just encourage that if you guys want to get involved in helping these girls that we rescue, to contact our office and just check it out. And come by to the Oceanside group. We meet at the library in Oceanside on Mission. And then we meet at Saddleback Christian High School in San Juan for the Orange County group. And if you want to get involved, we're also trying to start a shelter. I got the DA in San Diego and Orange County that are screaming at me to create a shelter for these kids. It's going to cost me about $30,000 a month. So I'm trying to raise the money. And that's short of donations. That would make it cheaper. But got to go.
That's it.
Got to go. Hey, thanks, buddy.
Hey, find Phil. You know where to find him. Love you guys.
This has been Live with Ryan Reese. To connect or find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for Live with Ryan Reese.
Have you ever attempted to read the entire Bible? Did you do it, or did you only make it part way? I'm John Stonge, and I host a podcast that will make it possible for you to make it through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. I've been hosting the Chapter a Day Audio Bible Podcast since 2015, and every single day of the week, I read one chapter of Scripture, then follow that up with a time of prayer. And if you're looking for daily insights and inspiration directly from God's Word, I hope you'll give the Chapter a Day Audio Bible a listen. You can find it at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.